Nuuk, Greenland is the world's northernmost capital, while the Wanapite First Nation sits just north of the Canada-US border. Both towns of Inuit and Ojibwe people, respectively, have sent a daughter far beyond the horizon to pursue an Olympic dream. These women are reaching for athletic excellence at the very highest level, firmly planted in the values that Indigenous communities around the world embody. On today's show, two Indigenous athletes share how their rich culture allows them to excel at the Games and inspire more athletes from First Nations to strive for first place. From NBC Sports, this is The Podium, a podcast about the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympic Games. I'm your host, Lauren Shahadi, coming to you every day from the ground with a unique angle on the performances that are carving what's possible on ice and snow. It's Sunday, February 6th. And the women's 15-kilometer individual biathlon competitors are on course for their practice session. One athlete is shooting particularly well, but it's her suit that's attracting the most attention.
I really wanted to have something Greenlandic to it. I originally wanted to do the whole national costume with like all the pearls and the seal fur and everything like this, but it would be a bit too much and a bit too much details. And that's why I wanted to do the tattoos. So they have the traditional tattoo markings on Landic, but other Inuit cultures as well. Okay, my name is Ukalik Shatmai. I do biathlon. I am from Greenland, but I race for Denmark in the Olympics.
Ukalik, welcome to The Podium. Thrilled to have you. I love how this suit looks, and the story behind it is obviously very meaningful. Are these tattoos telling us something in particular?
Yeah, like they can have lots of different meanings, but it's very... It has a long, long tradition, and it has been a big part of the culture. Not so much like the last couple hundred years, I think, but it has started to come back now again as people want to like reclaim the culture. So there are significant meanings to each of the designs. There's one that's a harpoon for good luck in hunting, mostly whales. And then there's one that's like a light amulet, which gives you light. And then there's also one with like different dots that can have different meanings depending on, I've heard different things. Some people say it's like for their ancestors. Some people say it's for their dead relatives. So there's one that you have on your joints, and I think it's for like health, so that you stay healthy in those joints, that you don't, yeah, that you have, they will, work for a long time. They can have many different meanings, and it's hard to like know everything about everything, but I think that for those who get it, it's always something very personal to them.
And something personal to you is that you're Inuit. How would you describe that culture, and how has representing it added to your experience at these Olympics?
It's really cool. I've had so many messages from, of course, people in Greenland, but also people in Canada who are Inuit and who tell me that they support me and they're inspired. And it's really cool to like, because I think, you know, Denmark and Greenland have a very close bond because we're under Denmark, but still, I think we like Greenlanders or Inuit in Greenland have a very close bond to other Inuit too, Indigenous people in Canada. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to be, of course, and a lot of people have different experiences, and I have my experience, but my experience is that we're very connected to nature, we still hunt a lot, we still do a lot of fishing. my family, we get all of our meat basically from hunting and fishing still. Also, a lot of Inuit are pretty spiritual and like believe in like spirits and ghosts. And they also like with the, with just the way people talk, I also like that we're very connected as a community. This is maybe the thing I miss, well, apart from being in nature, that I miss the most, because now I live in Norway, is the way that I can always just, when I'm in Greenland, I can always just call up anyone. Oh, do you want to go do something fun? And everyone is positive and everyone wants to do things all the time. And it's so easy to get connected with people, maybe because it's a small place. I don't know, but it's just so easy to get to know people.
Does the same hold true in sports culture?
Well, there's not really that much tradition for sports. Not a lot. The biggest sport in Greenland is football, like soccer. And but other than that, there's not a lot of traditions for it. I mean, of course, people have been kayaking, but that's not really a sport. It's just for hunting. So there's not really like long traditions for it. But in Nuuk, where I grew up, there is a lot of cross-country skiers, but not so much in a competing, more for like just to have a good time and be in shape.
Sure. That's a wonderful thing as well. Are people back home watching the Olympics?
I know for sure that a lot of people in Greenland do, for sure. Like, yeah, it's really, now it's really big. It hasn't been before, but now they broadcast it on television. Not in Greenlandic, though, I think. I'm not sure.
But we are starting to see some of the first Olympic broadcasts in Indigenous languages. In Canada, the opening ceremony and select events are commentated in Cree and Inuktitut. Do you speak your ancestral language?
Unfortunately, I'm not very good at it. I've moved in throughout my life. I've moved back and forth between Greenland and Norway. So yeah, I'm really sad about that. And my mom, yeah, she's the one who's from Greenland. She never learned Greenlandic because my grandfather had the idea that if you knew Danish, Danish is also an official language in Greenland. If you knew Danish, you had better opportunities for education. So she never learned Greenlandic, and she went to a separate school where you only spoke Danish. So I never really learned it growing up. I tried really hard to learn it in school, but it's very hard.
It's so interesting. You're representing a community much bigger than yourself and not sharing that load. What's your experience at the Games been like?
It's been amazing being here. I mean, it's I've never been so far away from home. So it was very like overwhelming in the beginning. But yeah, with my races, I'm really satisfied. The first race, I didn't do so well in the track. I was, it was a long race and I don't have a lot of experience in the altitude, but I hit all 20. So I shot very well. And it was like my personal best ranking, even though I didn't do so well in track. So I'm really satisfied with that. And in the sprint, I did probably the best race I could have done with the form I'm in right now. And I also hit 10. So I'm the only one, I think, from both the men and the women's side who hit 30 out of 30 in the individual and the sprint. So the shooting could not have been better. So I'm really, really satisfied with that. And the skiing is tough. I can see that I'm far behind the others and I still have many years where I have to work hard with the physical shape, but it's a very good experience, and especially being in the altitude. And it's also that's also what's so fun about biathlon, that even though I'm like far behind in the track and I still need to improve on that, I can still do good races when I hit the targets.
From biathlon to another sharp shooter, a women's hockey forward. Here's another athlete that's representing a community older than the country on her jersey.
Here's a chance now for Rock with the empty goal, and Rock will slot it home, punching a ticket through to the gold medal game for Team USA. Abby Rock.
Abby Rock, United States of America, women's ice hockey.
Abby, welcome to the podium. Just like Ukalek, you are one of the very few Indigenous athletes at these games. What does it add to the experience of being here in Beijing?
I think being the first Indigenous player on this roster here at the Olympics, it's obviously something that makes it unique and something that stays in the back of my mind for sure a lot of the time when I'm playing, just hoping I can make people proud and make people know that you can play at this level and that I'm here as an Indigenous player playing at the Olympics for Team USA, and that hopefully other little girls or boys who are Indigenous or want to play hockey, anybody really wants to play hockey, can look up and say, well, she's doing it, why can't I do it? And I think that's a huge piece for me while I'm here.
Of course, representation matters. So tell me about the kids you're inspiring, especially those who are part of your Wanapate First Nation. Am I saying that right?
You're okay. Wanapate First Nation. Obviously I'm a member of the tribe of Wanapate First Nation. My uncle Larry is the chief of the tribe, and I'm very proud of everything he does for the tribe and being elected chief and just what he gives to the people who he can there. And I think it's incredible. I think they've done so much for me just through college and now just making sure I'm feeling supported and need, or I can get whatever I need really. It's a very small community, but a close-knit community. And I think they've really shown their support for me. So I couldn't be more grateful.
That's lovely. Do you speak the language, Abby?
I do not speak Ojibwe. I know people who speak Ojibwe. Ojibwe was actually in my high school. I'm from a place that's very heavily populated Indigenous, the whole county itself and the city. And I actually, my senior year, took Native American literature instead of like your typical English. So all we read was Native American pieces. So there's some Ojibwe language in that. So you learn bits and pieces. But instead of taking Spanish, for example, you could also take Ojibwe at my high school. But I wasn't one of the ones who took that option just for the college route I was doing. I kind of needed the credit, but it's incredible to be able to take that at my high school, and that's an option. So lots of people I know took Ojibwe or can speak Ojibwe, yes.
You mentioned the option at your high school. I mean, now the gold medal game you just played, it was actually called in Cree and Inuktitut. What's your reaction to that?
I think that's incredible. I didn't know that. And I think that's super important, I think, just to keep the culture thriving and just to keep people feeling included and feeling like hockey is important for them and hockey is welcoming to them. I think it's a huge aspect, is just to make sure that being Indigenous doesn't make your culture different or anything like that. Like, it's a very important thing to learn about and to take the history and the lessons and the language and just continue to grow it and continue to pass it on.
Yeah. And you're doing just that. What does the hockey culture look like back home, Abby?
I think where I'm from, obviously my tribe is, I'm First Nation, so it's actually a Canadian band that I'm with. So where I'm from, it's another Ojibwe tribe, actually. But where I'm from, there's a lot of Indigenous hockey players who play. I think it's a small place to play sports. We don't have a lot of people who come out to even play Division I athletics or sports of that type. But we had so many players playing who were Indigenous in all sports, especially hockey. I never couldn't look around a locker room and see lots of other Indigenous players playing with me and Indigenous faces. So I think it's a really special community in that way.
So when people watch this final, or hopefully the next one in 4 years, and see Abby Rock on the roster, what do you want them to think?
I think what I want them to see is first, I guess me, myself as a player, I think the most important thing is to be seen for what you can do. And I think as a player, I can add a lot to a roster, not just on the ice, but try to be off the ice as good of a teammate as I can. And I think that's what's most important to me, is what my people, when the people see the roster, I guess the most important thing for me really is what the roster sees of me, the people around me, the people who are most close-knit to me. And I think that's the most vital piece for me. But I think obviously from the outside, yeah, I do want people to recognize that there is an Indigenous player on the roster and hopefully encourage other Indigenous players to play. But I think for me, it's really about being a good hockey player and letting people know that when they see that name on the roster, they're like, oh, Abby Rock, she's a great hockey player. She deserves it.
Well, we hope that this well-deserved spot on this very visible roster can have that effect of bringing more Indigenous athletes into the games.
Abby Rock, the final play of consequence as she seals this victory 4-1 USA.
Abby Rock with a great dish.
Do you think that just your presence will perhaps open some doors that would not have been before simply because you've made it to this stage?
I hope so. I mean, if I could say that one little girl started to play hockey because they saw me at that level and said, okay, well, she's doing it, I can do it, that would be incredible. But I hope that that's what little girls are taking out of it, especially little Indigenous hockey players who want to play, is that they're taking out of it that they can play.
Every 4 years, the world's greatest athletes compete for gold. That time is now. The Winter Olympics on NBC and Peacock. 17 days of action, excitement, glory, and history in the making. Don't miss a single epic moment. The Winter Olympics continue tonight on NBC and Peacock. Follow The Podium now on Spotify to get automatic downloads. And tune into the networks of NBC to watch every moment of the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympic Games.